Thank you again, Brother Sammy, for trusting me. Actually, you trust the Lord and discern perhaps He's working with this feeble servant. But you have given account to the Lord, and do occasionally He calls you to account of these. He's made you the overseer of. The Holy Ghost has made the overseer. Matthew chapter 13. In the first class we looked at God's divine election, His divine commission He gives to His people, and the divine call to whosoever will. Let him come drink of the water of life freely. Now, being fair with some people who accuse us sovereign grace people of being without feeling and compassion for people, actually, the most ardent perpetrators or the people that proclaimed it the most while Christ was on earth concerning God's election was the Pharisees. Their brag was, "We be Abraham's seed." So you can embrace the doctrine without embracing Christ. And that's a very, very dangerous thing. Matthew chapter 13. We'll refrain from standing. Brother Barris had a stand. And I want to read. I really want to read the entire chapter and then make some comments about the sower and the hearer. And also the hearer's attitude about the seed sown. Matthew chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much root, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto Him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Now, people, this is the portion of Scripture the Lord commanded light to shine in my heart concerning His divine providence, election, His foreordination. I was taught it, but it just wasn't a reality. It wasn't real to me. And the Lord used a new convert that I had espoused to the gospel to ask me the question. Why did Christ speak in parables? And I gave him the answer I thought was correct. He kept the stories down to earth so that they could hear and understand, but it's just the opposite. And the disciples came, verse 10, and said unto Him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, 'By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.'" And we have this twofold truth here. Christ speaking in parables, lest hearing they hear. And then holding them responsible for not hearing to obey the truth. Verse 17. "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Now let me say to some of you serious-minded evangelists, the clearest, most scriptural, simplistic gospel of Christ that we can go around people with the gospel net with, as clear and as plain in the scriptures as we can keep it, it's still going to draw some bad fish. The pastor and teacher's responsibility is to take the word of God and loose some to obey God with a clean conscience and a clear heart, and to bind others over to meet God with that same message. The work is of God. This is of God. Now, using this parable, I want you to see that Christ taught that three out of every four people that come under the influence of the gospel message will not follow Jesus Christ as his disciple. My figure I like to use that gets the point across to us Americans is that's 75 out of 100 that come under the direct influence of the gospel will not follow Christ. One of the dearest friends I ever had is dead now, Brother Leroy Hanna, a true deacon, came to me one morning on a job, and he was just upset. He had just been to the barber shop. When he went in, they was talking just terrible stuff. Ladies, it just don't happen at the beauty shop. It happens at the barber shop too. Don't let the fellas chide you with that. He said it was awful, and I thought somebody ought to say something. It was just blasphemous. Well, the guy in the chair got through, and the man in charge that owned the place, he said, "Come on, Leroy, and get your haircut. These guys ain't got nothing to do with carrying on this trash anyway." And Brother Leroy said, "I thought somebody ought to say something." I sat back down in the chair, and they fired back up. And I thought, somebody ought to say something. He got his haircut, paid for it, and come and found me. And he said, "Pastor, that wasn't right. It's bothering me." Well, that's not conviction, that's condemnation. And I asked him, I said, "Brother, this prayer you were praying, or at least thinking in prayer, somebody ought to say something. Did God ever give you something to say to these men?" "No, but somebody ought to say something." I said, "So you can honestly say before God, who's our witness now, this conversation, the Lord never prompted your mind and heart about something specific to say?" He said, "No, Pastor." I said, "Well, you did right. At least at that point in time, God did not have a word for those perverts from you. If he had, he would have given it to you. Now, don't go away and think about what should be said and then lie in your testimony and say, 'Oh, said.' He caught Jerry Falwell to that. I saw him on the Good Evening News, and he says, 'It's just a poor choice of words.' And I'm not taking away from his ministry at all. It just was a poor choice of words, what he said." People do that sometimes. They'll have an encounter with someone, and then they go away and they think about what could have been said. They get under condemnation. That's not conviction. Now, if the Lord shows you something that you should have said and could have said, and you don't, I'd recommend you repent from it and ask God to give you the anointing of the Holy Ghost to be faithful with the word he gives you, because that's what he uses. And I said that to Brother Hannah, and he got up Sunday morning and testified to the church, and he said, "That's what I needed." Now there's back-to-back verses in Proverbs. I think it's 26. I'm almost sure. Verse 3 and 4, somewhere along in there. One of them goes like this: "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be partakers of it." Next verse: "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." Now what that does, people, it shuts us up to the Holy Spirit. To be tender and sensitive, available, ready, quick, but not running in a crowd and horning in on the conversation and demanding people to hear us. We're going to straighten them out. I say concerning most, quote, modern evangelism and mission work, I say this, picked up this proverb from somebody I don't know who to blame or give the credit to, but this is the proverb. He that is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And that represents those 75 out of 100. Let's go with this. We'll consider our responsibility to keep the gospel clear and plain. Paul said he determined not to know anything among them save Jesus Christ, him crucified, and was determined to keep it simple. Lest, well, that's another message. Let me get to this. Now, the response, the result, the remedy, and the rules concerning each group of hearers. Remember, the sower and the hearer, also the hearer's attitude about the word. How did each get to where they are? They all heard the word of God. The seed was sown. The soil, man does not test the seed. The seed, Christ, tests the soil. The secondary application is often made with these, that they are Christians neglecting their lives. You can do that, but it's a secondary application. The primary is this. I believe Christ is teaching that one out of four that's called is chosen. That's God's part. No use arguing about it. Just appreciate it and enjoy it and rest in it and go with the gospel. As you go with the gospel. First, what is the response of each group of people? Verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. This first group allows the devil to come and rob the gospel from them. They are careless. They do not care about their soul's destiny or the gospel good news. They are careless. Verse 5 and 6. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much root earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 20 and 21. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. The second group will not allow the word of God to take root and grow in them. These will not stand the fire of tribulation or persecution because of the word. These are moved by emotion. Now remember, first hour we talked about those people that got excited and saw the miracles which he did and believed in his name. It's emotional. It can be stirred up. But they will not stand the fire of tribulation or persecution because of the word. Now listen, we're not saved by the will of the flesh. Not saved by blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. That's human descent, human desire, and a human decision. It's of God. Salvation's of the Lord. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. It's not of man. Therefore, it cannot be of you. Rest in it. Rest in it. Third group. Well, let me say one more thing about that second group. Christ being in them has never been their hope. They have too much care for things. First group were careless. Second group had too much care for the things of the world. Mark records the lusts of other things. Verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Verse 22. He that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, first pastor hammered on us about that, neglecting our spiritual life and condition and the word of God in our life. And that's true. But that's the secondary application. We're talking about people's response to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This third group will not yield to the Spirit and Word to cultivate their heart. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches control these and choke out the Word. Christ has never been first in their life. Never. Now, people, that's a requirement for our being saved.
Yes.
You come to God and lay the arms of resistance down. As a young military, a guy in the military, they taught us, because I was in the Air Force, and it's an Air Force brag, but they taught us early on that there's two places on the earth that will, the United States will never be in a ground war. Southeast Asia and the Middle East. You were taught that, didn't you, Pastor?
Yes.
And it was just not long. I'll tell you, if you go west so far, you wind up in the Far East. And so it was in Southeast Asia, and so it is in the Middle East. It was an Air Force brag. Those old fellows had it right. You will never know who the enemy is because of their guerrilla warfare tactics. And I'm saying there's no peace there. There's no peace in the human heart until you lay down your arms of rebellion and resistance and come like the hymn writer, just as I am, without one plea. Without thy blood is shed for me. And I made a little critical statement about so-called decisional regeneration a while ago. And the message is preached, and the little sad story is told, and the fellow said, come on now and be saved. I am not saying no one is saved in that confused atmosphere. But I will say with all boldness and biblical authority, nobody is saved by that procedure. It does not come like that. You come yielded. Yielded down, bowing to the King of the universe. And we used to say, you make Him your Lord. No, you can't do that. You don't have to do that. God has made Him both Lord and Christ. You bow.
Yes.
Bow to Him.
Amen.
This third group will not yield to the Spirit to cultivate the Word in their heart. Jesus Christ has never been first to them. The fourth group, verse 8 and 9. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. These here, they understand the message of mercy in Jesus Christ. That's the reason I add, admonish us all. Me first. When you're inviting people to meetings, or you're talking to them about world economic woes and military woes, be open and honest and prayerful that God might give you a witness of the saving message of Jesus Christ. Oh, you strong people on election, listen, let God take care of the consequence.
Right.
It's God that gives the increase.
Yes.
One soul's. Another waters. It's God that gives the increase.
Yes.
And so the pressure to perform and produce is taken away from them. We don't have to worry about it.
Right.
Talking about, I had a wonderful encounter with the original Harlan Sanders, the original Kentucky Fried Chicken Colonel. One fellow said, well, did you press him for a decision? I said, no, I was awestruck. This guy's famous. And it was, there I was, face to face in the Miami airport. And listen, God gives the increase. We don't have to crank a feather and say, now listen, you people are well taught about that and believe that. It's so sad. Listen, Acts chapter 19, the first 7 verses, gives an account of some of the elect that did not understand it first. Verse 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people. And I underlined that in my Bible when the Lord first showed it to me. These people had come under the ministry of John Baptist or his followers. They had heard the message and they yielded to water baptism by immersion. But they did not hear the gospel message. And listen, we don't have to really fret ourselves too much. Just be faithful. God will take care of that. You say, what about my child? I don't know if they understand. Listen, talk to them plain and simple. And if they want to be baptized, talk with the pastor. We say, what if they're one of God's elect? Don't trouble your little nimble brain with that. You can't handle it. That's God's business, people. We're stepping over into places not even ours to start with. That's God that does that.
Yes.
You say, well, if they're not saved, stay faithful with the gospel message. Mm-hmm. Pray for the pastor that occasionally he'll stab a heart with a challenging message of repentance toward God. The faith of Jesus Christ is given to us. This is what he said. That they should believe on him that should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. And this great apostle is very careful to tell this group of church candidates the simple message of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now when I was first Christian, I went to visit a radical Pentecostal group. My brother was there, and he urged me to come, and I went. I can't take time to tell you about that. But I was introduced as a Baptist evangelist. And the visiting evangelist got up and he said, I was going to preach on another thing, but the Holy Ghost changed my message. And he took that portion of Scripture in Acts chapter 19 and he shamed us that we're baptized in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, which includes Christ. And he said to us that we should be baptized in the name of Jesus. For the remission of sin, we'd receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I sat there, a young Christian. I'm considering this. He said, you people are just in a halfway house. You need to come on in. And if you know, their doctrine is United Pentecostal, Jesus' name only people. Most of them are militant. Mean. Anyway. The Holy Spirit speaking to me, sister, you know what? When John was baptizing unto repentance, he didn't say nothing about the command in Matthew, last chapter. Christ hadn't given that commandment yet. So when I got up and got out there and Pastor, what do you think? I just started rehearsing eager man. A young convert with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God there. And I started talking. I said, he's bad off. He is wrong. That guy is wrong. And he was close enough here. And the pastor turned his back to him. And he said, well, you know, some people press a point too much. He didn't even have a point. I'm making a point, I hope, with you. Listen, just be faithful with the message of Christ. Suppose they have heard. Be baptized. Get in church. And they do that. Be faithful with the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will take care of it. And they'll hear. And that's the reason they were called Anabaptists. Rebaptizers. Heard the message of Christ. What's the result? That's the response of each group. What's the result of each group? The issue is, what do you do with the word that you hear? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 19, no believing faith in Jesus Christ. Why is your faith so special? The next fellow said he has faith, just like we read in John chapter 2. Down the road, this fellow's faith. You say, well, I believe on the Lord. He believes in his church or his baptism or something else. What makes your faith so special? Well, he's believing in something else. I'm believing in Jesus Christ. What makes your faith so special? Why is your faith so special and pure? You're able to obtain salvation, and the poor fellow says he believes, don't. Are you getting my drift? Some of y'all's foreheads still showing that one over you. It is hearing God. True faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, not just hearing verses. It is hearing God. When He speaks, it is that time. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. When the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and presents it to your soul. We're talking about the response of each group. And these folks would have nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second group, verse 20 and 21. This group has no root system and it cannot stand in temptation. They fall away. Call the first one the prayer careless. Call this group the prayerless. The tribulation and persecution is because of the Word. Did you notice that? They are not rooted in Jesus Christ. Third group, verse 22. I didn't read verse 20 and 21. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the Word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word, and he becometh unfruitful. This group has too much care. This group does not ever turn loose of the care of this world. You must submit to the God of the Word and the Word of God. I read to you this morning three accounts where this people were demanded, required of God, to sit down and hear. Listen, it shall be told you what to do. These people got too much care, too much involvement. They ain't got time to sit down before the people of God with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They're too busy. Well, if you're that busy, you are too busy. And if you're one of God's elect, He can take care of that busy part, I guarantee you. You'll sit down and be glad to. We must submit to the God of the Word and the Word of God. To come to Christ, we must deny ourselves.
Yes.
Chronologically arranged, the first six times that Christ presents the word cross, it's you take up your cross and follow me. The first time it's in the negative, he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me cannot be my disciple.
Yes.
So this is a condition that actually when it is applied and obeyed, it becomes a result that is a requirement. That's the fellow that's on the cross. Results in his life that were requirements. Now the fourth group, verse 23. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth forth fruit, and bringeth forth some, beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. The fourth group hears the word of God, understands it. God speaks to them through it. They're honest. He's called good ground. And you know what that is. That's just a dirt man. He's made out of dirt. Got the same trace elements in him as the dirt. His body's going back to the dirt, and he's heard the message, and he receives it to believe it. He's just a dirt man that's doomed and damned and deserving to be forsaken of God. Now, people that have been honest with me about their salvation and come to Christ, most of them have had these two things in their life. They have come across someone that is a real Christian. When you go, brother, y'all get to go. One of the old elders down the islands one night way back in the mountains, he said, "Brother Carty is right. Most of you outside are scoffers and mockers. You think we are playing?" This was his challenge. We are not playing as you suppose. You're waiting for us to say amen and you'll escort the young ladies. But we are not playing. He said this. It's just like he said it 3 minutes ago or 3 seconds ago. Watch us tomorrow. See how we walk. We are not playing. So usually when a person comes to Christ, the first thing they begin to see is this is real. That couple's real. Those people are real. And then this comes to the... They're set apart, sanctified to believe the truth. And this is your truth. It's real. They are real Christians. A bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of dumb dog preachers. But not all of them. And the next thing is, if I die like this, it ain't going to go well for me. If I die like this, surely there's a hell. And those two things begin to be realities. Listen. To that person, the gospel is glad tidings.
Yes.
To that person who has received that truth to believe it, the gospel is good news. And we'll say, say on.
Right.
Tell me some more. Let me hear that again. It seems that those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. That's the root. He's honest. They know they must repent and believe the gospel or there's no hope. Listen to this out of Psalm 119, verse 92 and 93. Thy precepts quicken me. John chapter 1, verse 21. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Verse 21. You receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. 1 Peter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And people, this is a leading indicator that a person is believing. This Bible becomes as it is in truth the Word of God.
Yes.
And not the Word of men.
Right.
I quit questioning the Bible. Now I want to know. I'd like to know some more. Some of mine, Brother Sammy, good friends, don't agree with us. And I'm praying, Lord, what did you mean in this passage of Scripture? This brother says it's this. This brother says it's this. But what did you mean? What is it applied to me? What do I get out of it. It's the Word of God, my brother and sister. Third, for those of you I make point with, I'm on point three. What is the remedy for each group? The command of the gospel is repentance toward God, faith toward Jesus Christ. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Christ said, Mark 8:34, and when he had called the people unto him and with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You there in Matthew 13, turn to the last chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Then, verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you're witnesses of these things. Yes. Repentance and remission of sins. What is the remedy? Repent. I got a need this morning. Well, let me recommend you turn to the one who can meet that need. Repent from your own trying to figure it out. Reason with your own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's God's mental health program. And let me tell you, I told this nice veteran medical psychiatrist lady, that unworks. That mental health program helps a fella. And you don't have to go back through doors that's shut. That God's shut. Forgiven, delivered. Mm-hmm. I've been made free.
Yes.
I got sprung out of jail one time by some toughies, and I was set free, but I wasn't made free till my heart and mind was open to the gospel. The Old Testament and the New Testament touched this wonderful truth. It's amazing to me, Christ occasionally, he said, now don't tell anybody. You remember reading that? Mm-hmm. Now you don't go tell anybody.
What did they do?
They weren't told somebody. Now this is the truth from the Old Testament. They that believe on Him shall not be ashamed.
Right.
We're talking about this wonderful, wonderful joy, privilege, opportunity that's ours, that is a command to be obeyed. Now not straightening people out, running up in the middle of the group, say, y'all shut up now, listen to me. I'm going to straighten you out. Not that, but really the one that's ready.
Yes.
Available. You remember I read to you about Philip? He ran to that chariot. Hey, well, hold up. I've been hearing you read out loud. Let me tell you. The guy said, hell, who's he writing about? Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you about that. And I mentioned some of the Pentecost kin folks a while ago, criticizing them. They don't like that scripture because all he's got is the book of Isaiah. He don't have Acts 2:38. I wasn't going to be ugly. I was going to be nice today. All right, let's be nice. What rules in our witness? It's a privilege to sow the seed of the good gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. It's the same privilege to put a little water on it. So it doesn't matter, brother, what we're sowing or watering. It doesn't matter. It's God that gives the increase. Now, in that portion of Scripture, Paul is trying to call them to this reality. Listen, the preacher that's got the most influence and the most converts, it don't matter. That's secondary. It don't matter because it's God that gives the increase. Matter of fact, in that passage, the scriptures where I think he levels the playing field, he talks about sowing and watering and plants. Then he talks about the temple being built and building material. And then he indicts us for our wood, hay, and stubble. And he says, the gold and the silver and the precious stones will stand. That's got to be the elect bride of Christ. Or I don't understand that passage. You can bring your Bible. Now, if you're going to talk to me about it and straighten me out about it, bring your Bible. The outcome is of God. As we obey in any situation, it is the Spirit and the bride that says, come. God uses His people. It's the Spirit and the bride. As we go with the gospel, we cannot be defeated. The outcome is of God. It should not matter to us whether we sow or water in the increases of God. So then, neither is he that planteth anything Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth increase. We are not commanded to perform nor produce, just proclaim. Now, the last part of Mark in the Old Authorized Version is Bible. But it's very valuable to us. Especially in this time where people are following signs instead of signs following them. Christ told them in Mark 16, he that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. Believing first, not being baptized first. It's amazing the Church of Christ people came out of the old Baptist people. And Alexander Campbell's first message was a strong message of unity among brethren. They ain't no unity among themselves now. They're doting over words and arguing. I wasn't going to be mean. I said I was going to be nice, didn't I? Shame on me. We are commanded to just tell people. He told them to go. The signs would follow. They went in verse, let me just read it to you. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the signs with signs following. Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
Now that'll help us. The Bible is of great value to us. Mm-hmm. And those people that will not receive the love of the truth, they are being deceived by lying wonders and signs.
Yeah.
People are following signs instead of the signs following the believers. I'm convinced from my experience and the Bible, whatever you need at that point in your life to live and proclaim the gospel, God will give it to you. Mm-hmm. I've been hemmed up by some pretty brilliant people wanting to argue. And so far, the good God of heaven and earth ain't never left me at their mercy. He always brings up a portion of Scripture, and it's like a wet watermelon seed. When the harder they press, the quicker it comes out. Hallelujah. One fellow said to me, I won't believe anything that cannot be explained. I refuse to believe anything that cannot be explained, you simple-minded moron believing the Bible. I said, well, try this. A black cow eats green grass. Gives white milk, and you turn it into yellow butter. Explain that or tell us you don't believe it. God does that, people. It has to be God. Conclusion. Boy, this is bound to mean something to us. The good ground understood and bring forth fruit. Again, we're not commanded to produce. Amounts differ according to ability. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. This is Matthew 25. And straightway took his journey. From the different portions of fruit produced by the good ground, 100, 60, and 30, we may learn that all sound believers are not equally fruitful. All hear? All understand it? All bring forth fruit, but not in the same degree. Bearing fruit comes from believing God. Colossians chapter 1. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Understanding the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ always brings forth fruit. Always. The gospel is the power of God to salvation in every nation. I was going to preach that message out of Colossians. I thought one Sunday morning, we were back in the Central Mountains of Jamaica. Got through and the elder said, stay, brother, stay with us. We need that, stay with us. I said, I got to go. The man going to come pick me up and carry me somewhere else. Well, here come a runner, said, the brother said, the car is sick. I said, well, tell him, leave it alone. I'm going to stay. That's Sunday morning, sister. 8 days later, Sunday night, I'm just getting started. Hey, this thing about the grace of God and the gospel believed in truth. Something's coming out of you.
Yes.
Something big as God moving in your bosom. You can't be quiet. Mm-hmm. Now, let me say again, like Brother Hannah, it may not be a word for this bunch of perverts at this time. Don't just run up there and throw you the little dog in that fight. They'll make a fool out of you. Make you so embarrassed, you'll go off with your tail tucked between your legs. But if you're open to God and honest with God and serious with men's souls and women and children, if it's the will of God, He'll bring out of you just exactly what will be effective. Right then. You know what? They are responsible. They are accountable. Understanding the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ always brings forth fruit. Sinner, don't allow an unrepentant heart to cause you to refuse the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come to Christ. Don't not believe. Don't refuse Him. Don't bow up against Him. Don't harden your heart. Don't shun the gospel. People do that. These folks came under the direct influence of the gospel message. 75 out of 100 will not follow Christ. That's Christ's percentage, brother. Now mine was going to be better than that, but it's not. We just go around people with the gospel net. And as God works in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bad fish, they got to go. They won't stay around where Christ is honored. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Saint, may we be seriously faithful to keep the message, the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a dangerous road that leads to destruction, and it is not receiving the love of the truth that you might be saved.
Right.
We can't rejoice in that, but it cannot be a deter to us here. I heard one preacher say, you'd be better off if you never heard the gospel. No. You'll be better off if you'll hear it to believe it. So this morning I urge you, repent and believe the gospel. Saint, those of us, when I point at you, brother, I've got three in my palm coming right back here. For those of us that have been a little slow about being ready. Now, I'm not talking about jumping out there and on a grand campaign, brother, first, but being open and honest and praying. You know what this has been my sense, Sister Steele? When I in the early morning, boy, I love that this morning. That's my thing. The only way it could get better than that, I'd have to have a new body, man. This thing would blow out. What a wonderful joy is ours in this space age, religiously deceived generation. We've got the old gospel from Jesus. Just be faithful. When I talk to God about people, usually in that we are heard. When I talk to God about people, I'm quicker to talk to people about God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, what an honor. It's my honor, my wonderful privilege. Lord, you do not have to give us your word, and you sure do not have to give us the assurance of it. But you give it to us, and then people sit before us to hear it. And even as our brother said a while ago, to meditate on it, to think about it. Help us, Lord. So often we decide who wants to hear and who don't. Help us not to do that. We don't want to be the obnoxious ones trying to put our religious notions to straighten the poor, pitiful people out. But we want to be the one that's open, sensitive to you, and tender to the needs of the multitude. Wandering. Sheep without a shepherd. Longing. Hurting in their soul for something real. And here we have you, the real Savior. The real joy of our heart and life. Help us, give us grace. Give Brother Sammy wisdom as he pastors these sweet people. What a great joy it is today to be with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray for me and the Lord will give me the date on the mission trip. It's on the way to the city.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John.